Delango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Sunday, November 18, 2001, at 11:30 p.m., entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part 19, Before Deadly Force, Part 2. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kintako. Have a pleasant flight.
Ruled by fear. See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt.
lies can't help him. Truth's our weapon, we'll collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in. So, see, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lesson, the mind on thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to beat down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with a human rights patrol.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio. Giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,534th night of broadcasting. It's time for volume number 19 of the program we call the Human Rights Patrol, coming up out of 106.5 FM Human Rights Radio here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield. To help give shout outs to those stations who make this program that you're listening to possible, we call upon World Correspondent Commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, Elementary Sensation, Dada, Kanadi, Kentucky, and Zalango to you.
Zalango.
You want to get those shout-outs to those folks out there with the nerve to spread the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and across the planet Earth?
Yep.
Let's do that now, then.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yuhuru, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, brought by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and her staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, brought by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Thank you very much, Warrior, and we're going to talk with you again as you give the shout-outs to the stations that have the nerve to play the Human Rights Radio program we call the Human Rights Patrol. We'll talk at you later on. Now, you know, tonight, we're going to, in this edition, we're going to continue on with that series, as you heard Kanadi say earlier, we called Before Deadly Force. Because, you know, right now, as you're checking the things out in the fall of 2001, going on the winter of 2001, it's kind of clear that the ones in charge, you know, there's all kind of things getting ready to happen. You know, when you played the game the way they play it, you know, the social order game, it's got a logical conclusion. You know what I mean? It's not going to last forever. This stupid stuff they call living, it could never last forever because it's in contradiction to everything that's right, you know? I mean, you know, best example of what I'm saying is, how come it is in this land that the left or the right has never come to the discussion of human rights? You know what I mean? The left or the right, You know what I'm saying? And the common sense answer is simple. When you start talking about human rights, you start talking about submitting your free will, which could really be kind of silly, the way, you know, especially the way they have socialized everybody, you know, submitting your free will, which human beings were given out of all the creatures in the creation, is submitting that back to the power that gave you free will and being obedient to what you was made to be. Well, the left or the right can't deal with that because they whole program is getting paid, you dig? And you don't get no grants by telling people there's a power greater than Uncle Sam. You get grants by telling folks that the only way you can survive is to submit your will that was you was given by the creator to Uncle Sam. Now, of course, Uncle Sam knows everybody ain't going to tolerate that. and his little phony left and right movements ain't going to suck everybody up. You know what I'm saying? So what he does, he's trying to develop ways that he can make it look like folks is cooperating. But when he got to go drama, you know, and beat folks down, that's when he exposes himself for what he is. Even that boy, Robert Peel, who they named, you know, the 5-0 after, the pigs after, in England, you know, the Bobbies, Bobby Peel, right? He said, hey, look, the ideal way to patrol, to do the police thing is that, you know, especially in this social order, we got to make, you fail when you got to arrest people. You fail when you got to beat them up. The ideal thing is to make the people think that they like the circumstances that they're in. And when you get to the point where you got to go drama, that means you're going to lose credibility. You know what I'm saying? And I'm certain when they rolled on us in September of 2000, and with that phony pretense about after 14 years we was interfering with airplanes, that made all kind of other things necessary. And I wouldn't even, you know, we in the Human Rights Radio Network talk about the fact that's why they had to go drama again in September of 2001, because they trying to cover that whole stupid move up, you know, because one of their biggest, the thing is that if it looked like they beating people down for people to be satisfied up in here, then that gives away their game. And when you attack Human Rights Radio, you're getting no more into that. I mean, you can't deny it then. Well, we was talking about the before deadly force, things that they trying to do to make it not look like they brutalizing and terrorizing folks up in this country to get them to cooperate. And we were sharing with you a program we had got from the Discovery Criminalization Channel that was like, you know, talking about non-lethal weapons, things that they could put on you to make you do what they want you to do without killing you. Because, you know, those pictures of people getting water hoses and stuff, they'll provoke the African people, the folks who have the, you know, the yesterdays of being free in their memory banks. They're like, hey, we can't go for that, you know. So they try to make it. Anyhow, let's get back to this Discovery Criminalization Channel. From the house of 4,000 to 5,000 tapes here at 106.5 FM in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, let's kick up some of this knowledge again. Let's see. Where is it at?
Acres foam has some great potential. By itself, it's innocuous. It's fundamentally soap suds. You can wash in it. In fact, I have washed in it. But it has the ability to be environmentally benign. You can lay it down on anything and it won't hurt anything. But we could mix it with, say, for instance, oleoresin capsicum, which is pepper spray.
Aqueous, or barrier foam, was also developed at Sandia National Labs. It disorients people, preventing them from seeing or hearing anything around them. Mixed with pepper spray, it can be very painful. Aqueous foam can also put out fires. And, of course, it leaves buildings very clean. Non-lethal microwave weapons can be used to disable anything with electric circuits. Its high-powered electric pulse burns out targeted computer systems within seconds.
Some of the microwave technology, microwave that could stop computers, has tremendous potential because you can actually point it from a helicopter device and short out the car's electrical or computer systems and just make it stop.
Although the development of microwave weapons is highly classified in the U.S., the Swedish Defense Ministry allowed us to see theirs. Here they are showing how a microwave can bring down a helicopter. The blast lasts only 5 millionths of a second, but it is enough to melt the helicopter's microcircuits. Obviously, this would be one of the more lethal applications of the technology. Microwaves can also disable planes, tanks, and anything else with electric circuits. And they can remotely trigger electric fuses, which means they can make missiles and landmines automatically explode. And the list of non-lethal weapons coming into use or in development goes on. Laser weapons used to disorient the enemy. Acoustic weapons, which make your insides vibrate and cause involuntary bowel and bladder movements. Sedative gas to make the enemy docile. At Los Alamos National Labs, scientists are even developing super-resistant bugs that can eat and destroy gasoline. The police and the military are eager to extend their use of these new weapons. Already, the Marines have deployed them in Somalia and Bosnia. But just as non-lethal weapons are taking off, concern is growing about the ethical implications of using them.
Now, let me tell you something. When you we don't... As an African, I sit here and listen to this stuff, I'd be like, what in the world would possess somebody to think about putting something like that on another human being. But then I could trip like that because we don't have no historic memory of the rack, you know what I'm saying? Or the wheel, or, you know what I'm saying? Or the guillotine, you dig what I'm saying? The ones who came up with this stuff, they got a pretty drama-filled background, you know what I'm saying? This is ruthless stuff. And what they be talking about, like, well, you know, if we put this here microwave on somebody, you know, that's going to get them to do what we want them to do for that moment. But they never talk about what is the long-term effect of, you know, making somebody with a machine go to the bathroom. What's the long-term effect? You know, you've been messing around at the table, you know, when you wasn't supposed to, when it was time to eat when you was young, and different things like salt or pepper might have got, you know, accidentally flipped up in your eye or something like that to make you kind of know you wasn't supposed to be doing that. We didn't think about it like that then, but that's what it was about. And, you know, that stuff burned. And then they talking about taking some stuff, some pepper, and cooking it like 150 times stronger than the pepper on your table, putting it in somebody's eyes, but, oh, they'll be all right. Oh, yeah, how long? Because they don't, you know. But again, we don't got no background or no rack or no wheel or no guillotine, you know what I'm saying? And so we can't relate to, you know, chopping heads off, you know, this kind of ruthlessness. But, you know, those in charge here, this is what they do. And I think they put this kind of data out to terrorize their gatekeepers more than anything else because they know we ain't studying them.
Reporting for Channel 44 News. Behind me is a building under siege. Inside are five members of the Time Management religious cult. They're heavily armed, psychotic, and they're holding a little girl hostage.
One of the best exercises for non-lethal weapons is a hostage situation, because what you really want to do is want to get your guys out of the enemy's hands alive.
Well, with me now is Chief Inspector Lester Havoc. Chief Inspector, what are you planning to do?
Well, it's a tricky situation, Ed. Obviously, we don't want any harm to come to the little girl.
Well, yes, obviously.
So we're trying to break the siege using non-lethal weapons.
Non-what? And what's happening here?
We're about to pump aqueous foam into the adjoining room.
That's marvellous.
Advocates of non-lethal weapons are happy to emphasize the comical character of some of the latest technology. Foul-smelling gases sound more like a practical joke than a weapon. Anti-traction fluid, which makes people and vehicles slip and slide all around, seems straight out of the Keystone Cops. Foam mixed with pepper sounds like it would just make you sneeze. It all seems harmless and a bit silly. The U.S. Marines call this the giggle factor.
Started shooting. What are you going to do now?
Don't worry, Ed. You see that stuff over there?
Yes.
It's sticky foam.
And now for the nets and the carminative gas.
Yep.
And what's this police officer doing? Isn't that the little girl's mother?
Yes, it is. He's telling her that she can take her daughter home now.
I can't, but she's stuck to the ground.
But according to their critics, the comical appearance of non-lethal weapons masks an altogether more sinister reality. They say these weapons only seem harmless because they haven't yet been put into practice. They point to non-lethal weapons, which are currently in use, to illustrate their true nature. Although the military is currently showing the most enthusiasm for non-lethals, it's the police who have the most experience using them. Here in Casper, Wyoming, the SWAT team is showing off their non-lethal arsenal.
This is a number 15 stinger ball grenade used a lot in jail environments to break up jail riots. Again, we deploy it by pulling the pin, throwing it in, and just about a second and a half to 2 seconds later, the same goes off, and it spreads these balls immediately within the room, and they hurt a lot.
Fire in the hole.
This particular weapon here is a 37-millimeter gas gun from Defense Technology Corporation of America, used to deploy gas and or specialty impact weapons. What we saw today, I did deploy 6 rounds of a combination of foam batons and wood batons and rubber balls used to, it's a less lethal round used to move a crowd back. How much would they hurt? They hurt quite a bit.
Michael Keith is one of the world's leading authorities on the physical effects of supposedly non-lethal projectiles. He's about to demonstrate the effects of one of the mildest non-lethal bullets currently available, the beanbag bullet.
What we're going to be doing here is demonstrating a flexible baton, or commonly known as a beanbag round of ammunition, the beanbag being a 2-inch square bag filled with shot. And we're going to be shooting this gentleman here with the ammunition. We're going to be shooting him in the leg, and his leg has been padded to minimize the bruising, because these rounds will cause bruising. And we have a protector protecting his genitals intentionally, so that we won't cause any problems because of an impact. These kind of rounds have not been a problem, but rubber baton rounds have been known to emasculate people, like in Ireland, etc. We're using a close-range round, which is a minimal energy round. There are higher energy rounds, our standard round, which would cause more bruising and more pain. Mm-hmm. And
so the padding that I have on here at the moment is pretty sufficient?
It will be sufficient to minimize you having bruising, but you will experience pain, definite pain.
Son of a... that hurt...
How does that feel?
It feels bloody. That hurt. Do you need me to show you the...
Yes.
Okay. Okay, it's stinging. It's hurt. Yeah, there's going to be a bruise there, I think. It's like... Yeah, it's a stinging sensation. It's like making me shake a hell of a lot.
These type of munitions are referred to by different groups of people as non-lethal, less than lethal, and less lethal. Non-lethal has a connotation that it will not kill.
What it does is it builds up expectations. Builds up expectations that it is, that we're gonna deploy something that won't kill anyone. Non-lethal weapons can and do kill.
In the instances of a beanbag, if you're fired at with a standard round, at less than 30 feet, you run the potential of having organ damage if shot into the vital organ area. And so the potential of injury is severe. And if the shot in the head-neck area, the potential of lethality is very increased.
Incidental, accidental, and corollary casualties must be expected and allowable.
Now, did you hear that wicked girl? She said, well, you know, if we kill some folks accidentally, well, hey, that's how we do our business. You know what I'm saying? Now, you think about, why would they be developing these weapons? So that the top 1% of this country's population can maintain the same wealth distribution that they have, where it's that they have more wealth than the bottom 99% of the population. Well, you know, hey. Why would anybody say that that's going to be all right? Well, again, you come from the background with the rack and the dang-gone guillotine. And like, oh, boy, you know, what kind of fool would let them shoot them, you know, on the dang-gone? He let them shoot him. Stupid. And I tell you, it's something else, man. It's something else. But again, you know, hey, you do with the information what you want. We'll probably have to do another installment because we got some more stuff here with reference to this less than lethal force situation these fools be screaming about. But you're going to have to relate to the fact they're not developing this technology for you to have a better life. They're developing the technology so that the ones in charge can stay in charge. And it don't look like they brutalizing as many folks. Now, that makes them even more wicked. You know what I'm saying? That they would go out and develop technology to help them keep control of a wicked situation that they made that way by the way they got things arranged. I know you don't think that there's any other way things can be because they have socialized you into believing that. You know, hey, you gotta cooperate with what we're doing because that's the only way things can be. That's why nobody talks about human rights, because if there is conversation about human rights, then you know whatever you have been taught to do as a human being, it must keep you respectful of the divine order. And if it don't keep you respectful of the divine order, then somebody has tricked you into giving up the better life for a pretend life that's going to be basically full of suffering and misery. And I think you could testify to that already. I don't think we have to, you know, bring any more information to that. There's a lot of research out on this. We start covering this kind of conversation back in the early 90s, you know, with Brother Mawada and other folks around the criminal enterprise called the United States. And our library is, again, full with information. If you want where you hear this program to hear even more Human Rights Radio, contact those who make this program possible. And speaking of those who make it possible, we're going to call upon Dada Kanati to come back into the place and remind y'all of who all those folks is, if she will, please. Let's see. Looking for that. Okay, there it is right there. And Zalango to you again.
Zalango.
You want to give that shout out to those folks who make this program possible, for the folks that are listening to it in the different places across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the world.
All right. We want to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yuhuru, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM. Human Rights Radio, brought by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, and the criminal enterprise called Bayview Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, brought by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
That's right. And if you want to hear even more Human Rights Radio from here, where we have over 4,000 to 5,000 tapes of African history, cultural information, brought by the African Research Underground, you know what I'm saying? And it's a nationwide group, man. There's always been brothers and sisters out there sharing with us who we are. And we were blessed here at Human Rights Radio starting in 1990 to get some of those sisters and brothers on tape. So if you want to hear more of that, let the folks who make the Human Rights Patrol possible for you to hear, let them know. And we'll be more than happy to share what the Creator has allowed us to accumulate. Again, we're talking about, you know, a wicked government. And it's not going to be this conversation that you hear in the Human Rights Patrol that's going to drive you to human rights. Am I right, Kanati?
Right.
Nah, we already know, because it's coming from folks who care about you, folks who really do want you to have a better life, right?
Right.
And of course, who wants to hear from folks like that, right? You're going to go to human rights when the demons get through with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why my mentor, Elder Sensei, said, we got to take our hat off to the demon club. Because I'm telling you, good folks in my life, they didn't drive me to human rights. When I heard my mentor, Sensei, talking about human rights, I was like, hey, that's all right, but I'm going to have to slap somebody with a stick or something, man, because that ain't what you talking about ain't hard enough, strong enough, you know? But then I went out there with them demons, and they had all the sticks. Like, oh, shoot, we can't do that. We got to do something else.
Right.
And it was the demon club. So our elder mentor, Sensei, always taught us we got to take our hat off to the demon club. And I look forward to the day when they bring you to the point where you're ready to deal with divine law and what the Creator wants us to do as human beings. And then we can move to the level of humined beings again. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's right. That's right. All right. I want to thank y'all for being with us for volume number 19 of the Human Rights Patrol, called Before Deadly Force, Before Uncle Sam Has to Shoot You Down. Kanati, thanks for helping us out and giving the shouts out to the stations up and down the Human Rights Information Network. Again, remind y'all, don't forget to catch us on the World Wide Web at radio.about.com. Click on the Human Rights Information Network. And don't trip, because in the future, you'll be able to download, like, a lot of the programs from all the stations in the Human Rights Radio Network. And until next time, we're in our 4,534th night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield at Human Rights Radio 106.5 FM. And I got to remind y'all that you're listening to the people's choice, because the people choose to listen to. You want to tell them?
Human Rights Radio.
Caught her off guard.
We will remember the humanity.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline.
Patience.
Devotion.
And courage. We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determinate.
We are African people.
We are African people.